When we started LCC Connect in 2022, our aim was to create a podcast network that connects our college with a community and our community with the college. Since then, we've expanded to offer more than 30 podcasts, all of which are hosted by members of Lansing Community College or community activists. This is Dedalian, General Manager for LCC Connect. And on this episode of Behind the Connection, we feature a chat with the host of a new podcast called Ripper. The host of the program is Terry Denise. She's currently a Lansing Community College student and one of the winners of our annual contest called The Podcast Power Up. Her podcast premieres on LCC Connect Tuesday, September 30th. It'll be available for listening at lccconnect.com or on your favorite podcast streaming service. Now, let's get behind the scenes and find out what's happening behind the connection with Terry Denise and Ripper. You were one of our podcast Power Up winners, and it's awesome to have you be a part of what we're doing.
Well, thank you.
One of the questions that we have on our form that the podcast Power Up contestants fill out, tell us a fun fact about yourself. Yours was an interesting answer, and I kept meaning to ask you about it. Do you even remember what you answered?
Please tell me.
I danced the biggest Soul Train line in the world was your answer to fun fact. Is this true?
This is very true.
I want to know the backstory. How'd this happen?
So I can't remember exactly what year it was. It was somewhere around 2011. I was in Chicago. I had a relationship with somebody that was in Chicago who was a transplant actually from the Tri-County area of Michigan.
Okay.
And we were downtown hanging out. And we did not know what was going on. We just saw and heard a lot of music happening, and it was very loud. And I was actually taking a couple photographs of him so he could use for some online thing, I think. And then I had him posing in front of some fence or something. I was like, what is going on right now? And I finally looked and I was like, I'm pretty sure that's Don Cornelius on that big old stage in the middle of Chicago right now. What is happening? So it was Don Cornelius. It was a Soul Train event. It was like an anniversary event.
Okay.
And literally just nothing but funk, soul, R&B, everybody having a great time in the middle of Chicago area. I don't know. It might have been in Millennium Park. It was definitely in one of the huger parks in the area. And it was just people just thrown about.
So was that their goal, was to build the longest Soul Train?
I don't know, but they did do it. There were thousands of people in this line. It was just a mass amount of people that just joined in a Soul Train line. And it, no matter where you were.
Now, were they doing it like, like the Locomotion? Were they doing it like just doing their own dance? What was happening there?
Well, there were a lot of, there's a lot of strutting going on, because once you hit a certain age and your back is not doing the same thing that once you can't go down into the splits and then come back up while spinning, they used to be able to do on the dance floor.
I'm somebody that could tell you a little bit about that. Go on.
Yes. There's definitely a lot of peacock strutting going on, but a lot of a lot of hustle moves, we'll just say.
So would you consider yourself a dancer?
Yes.
All right. I mean, music seems to be a big part of your life, really. You volunteer your time at festivals. On your first episode, you talk a little bit about singing in a doom metal band.
Yeah, actually.
Is that legit? And is that still happening?
Okay, so yes, it is legit. I'm actually in the Encyclopedia of Metal that you can find online under the name Terry Brown. There's tons of bands that you can look up if you're ever wanting to see what bands from Lansing ever existed that were in the metal scene, or how many bands are connected to this and this person from that and everything like that. But the band name that I named the band, Kruthu, C-R-U-T-H-U, which is a Gaelic word for basically mother or earth mother.
Okay.
As I was taking it, I was the lead singer of this band for a little bit, around 2014. Then one day the guys in the band showed up at my front door with my amp and said, "We're going in a new direction," and then replaced me with a male singer. So I am not in the band anymore, but they kept the name of the band, which is funny. I was searching for a name that had something to do with Earth, something had to do with Mother. And then I just was like, what's the thing that can connect us all in this band? And I just did my like DNA genetic 23andMe thing, and I found out that I was like Brits, Isle, Celt.
Okay.
Gaelic. I was like, and then one of the band members always like talked about how he was Irish, or he loved like Phil Lynott and everything, like the
Thin Lizzy.
Thin Lizzy. Yeah. So that was like a huge influence as well on everybody. So okay. I was like trying to like, I'm like, okay, all right, cool. Irish, Gaelic, Scottish thing going on here. Brick, Celt, Isle, whatever. And I was like, was really looking into different kinds of languages at the time. So Gaelic was one of those dictionaries that I picked up at one of the local libraries. And I was like, Cruhu. Mm-hmm. I just found that word. And apparently there is another band named Cruhu.
Oh, really?
Yes, but they're more of a like folk band, but they're actually Irish. So technically, as a former member of the American Cruhu, and then there's the Irish Cruhu.
So did they spell it the same?
Yes.
Oh, okay. Because you know that's the story behind Megadeth, right?
No.
That's why it's spelled with a D-E-T-H, because there was already a Megadeth out there.
That's
so
nice.
Yeah, interesting. So that had to be a little disappointing to kind of get booted out of the band.
Yeah.
Did you find yourself a new place to go then?
People found me.
Okay.
A lot.
So you're still out there singing?
Yeah, actually.
Okay.
Which
why
is
doom metal?
I love doom metal. I'm a big.
Okay.
I love metal as a.
And everybody's definition of music genres varies. So you defined based on bands that people would know. What would you define as doom metal?
So I'd say the great like influencer on heavy metal would be Jimi Hendrix, and the way that he took his inspiration and his experience of being not only in doo-wop or like old soul bands, jazz bands and everything like that, but what he took and electrified it and then psychedelic-ed it. Mm-hmm. That's not a word.
Mm-hmm. But it's okay to make up words. Making up words is fun.
But the fact that he himself was, already in soul bands and everything like that, and then took it to a completely different way that nobody heard.
Okay.
Nobody heard what he was doing with music ever, and he was his own enterprise, had to go over to Europe to actually get popular, which seems to be a similar thread going on with a lot of brown Americans throughout the many years. But not only that influenced a lot of people over there to start their own bands, and they were like, I love the Beatles, but I also love whatever this guy is doing, so let me mix it all together. So his style of playing influenced other bands to also start hitting the fuzz pedals really
so
bad.
You are calling Hendrix your original doomer.
He is
your original.
Well, if we're going to my original like metal influence, like the very first thing that I heard, the like album that got put in front of my face when I was like a 6-5-year-old, little first grader at kindergarten,
sure,
would have been Stryper, To Hell with the Devil, that my mom brought into the household.
So, see, that would be one I. As a metal guy, I would not describe that as doom metal in any way, shape, or form.
Are you kidding me? The title
I
of
mean, I guess.
The actual album is called To Hell with the Devil.
And for anybody not familiar with the band Stryper, they are a Christian rock band from the 80s.
They're definitely metal.
And I would call hair metal more than anything.
They were definitely glam metal.
Glam, yes.
I would stare at the album covers all of the time, just like, why is everybody so amazing looking? One of the guitarists, I think it was Matt Fox or something, he had like a little controller on his suit and outfit that looked like kind of Darth Vader's little control box on his costume. And I was just, they were like doing space-agey metal weirdness, but also Christian. It's just, it's all the way around very, very like heart-driven, this is in your face, in your ear of that kind, but it's not.
I guess I'm glad I asked you the question, because I would not have thought of Stryper being in your lineup of influences, so.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, you know, but at the age of 5, 6, I mean, it had to be a completely new thing. So it kind of like blew your mind to hear this music.
It did blow my mind. Okay. It also terrified me, but it blew my mind. If you actually get a chance to look at the cover of To Hell with the Devil, you can see why, like, it's definitely doom. It just might not be in the kind of way and perspective that everybody thinks of kind of doom metal, but they are talking about literally the rapture and the end of the world.
See, I'm going to call Hieronymus Bosch the original doom guy then. Yeah. Doom metal guy, because I always, anytime you see the Garden of Earthly Delights, yep, anytime I've ever looked at that, I've been like, man, this is some tortured stuff going on.
There's some hilarious stuff in there too.
There is, yeah. There's
lots of little gremlins running around like spanking people.
Right. So you actually are here to talk with me a little bit about Ripper, your podcast, yeah, coming up September 30th. It's going to premiere on LCC Connect. You are one of our podcast power up folks. Mm-hmm. And for people that aren't familiar with that, we do a little contest every year, reaching out to the students, inviting them to be a part of our LCC Connect network. And you were one of our winners. So tell me a little bit about the experience. What's it been like going from start to finish?
Well,
Or should we say start to continuation?
Continuation, yes. Actually, I was inspired by a posting, one of the electronic boards throughout the school flashed a posting about a contest, and I was like, I really need something to do. Also, I was originally going to try to get involved with WLNZ years ago.
As LCC Radio, yeah.
Yes, LCC Radio. I was interested in trying to get on air somehow and okay, having my own show. And I wanted to play like a lot of local music and some bands that I was in and some bands of friends of mine and everything like that. And then it just never happened. So okay, I saw the posting and I was like, maybe I should just randomly put in this thing and see if it works out.
Did I brush you off or did I tell you to come back?
You told me to come back and I still have a card of yours, I believe.
Okay, good. Well, that's good to know. I was at least friendly, which is usually my MO anyway. I'm usually like that, but I'm always trying to give people an idea of what we're doing here at LCC Connect. So mm-hmm, can you kind of help people understand how we've been supporting you in the process?
So definitely, I am able to, as long as there's studio time, I can book. And that actually just helps at all, just having a place to come to be in a very professional setting, mm-hmm, knowing that I can show up and things are set up, there's a mic that's ready for me to go. Beyond the recording, there's just knowing that there's editing going on in mm-hmm, a particular way and everything like that, and that I don't have to necessarily tear my hair out about every single little bit of everything. I can just come in and get started and practice and form my way of approaching how I still want to formulate the topics that I want to talk about, or mm-hmm, even just whatever randomness I want to have at any particular time. Knowing that I have the ability to do that and that I have the freedom to do that is great. That's a huge support, knowing that, being able to actually be comfortable enough to ask questions without feeling like I'm out of my element or anything like that.
Sure.
So I don't feel like I'm ever being talked down to, like, oh, you don't know what this is or anything like that. No, it's absolutely not that. It's a very, seeing as how we're in an educational surrounding at all, I think that helps as well, because there's just a base of being able to come in and figure things out as you mm-hmm, go along and learn the process and learn if there's more areas that you're interested in. And you've been very supportive. And I know there's a lot going on with remaking and rebuilding a lot of different things around the area, but you are cool as a cucumber about everything, which also helps stave off any kind of like, well what am I going to talk about today and everything like that. And I come in and it's just like, chill. You know, so
cool. I appreciate the kudos. That's not what that question was about, of course, well, but it is very good to hear that you're having a positive experience. And it is helpful in me kind of helping explain to others exactly what we're trying to do here, because this is not necessarily a place for somebody who has that background in broadcasting, although you do have a little background in communications to a degree. It's not necessarily for that. It's for people to not only, I'd say jump out of their comfort zone a little bit.
Definitely.
And then at the same time, learn in the process. Mm-hmm. So everybody that I'm working with, they aren't pros.
Right.
So it's great to see you're finding it a positive experience and you're learning from it. Let's talk about the name Ripper.
Okay.
That's a really broad term. And really, we got to try to figure out what exactly does this title mean to you? What are you trying to say with Ripper?
All right. So I did, yes, there's an acronym associated with Ripper that I put together. I will tell you straight up, this is going to go right back to the music and metal. I'm a big Judas Priest fan.
Nice.
And I was listening to one of the albums, and there's a song called The Ripper on it, which is, of course, about Jack the Ripper. But there's a song called Ripper on it, and I was like, ooh, I like that. Really speaks to me. I really like, you know, the fall and Halloween and everything like that. And it kind of came together in my brain about, like, how I can rip off the – not rip – I'm sorry. I started that completely incorrectly. What I meant was to rip things off of, like, a seal. So, like, opening a seal, and me being the kind of maniac I can be sometimes, it's kind of like just tearing things apart in certain ways that I might say things.
I like that you refer to yourself as a maniac.
I
so did you establish what the acronym stands for?
I did. I actually...
You still don't know, do you?
I no. Well, after, I wrote it down. I have my folder here. So it was R was randomness. So that would be me coming in with just talking about whatever was off the top of my head that day. If, like, I ran into some weird traffic, I'd be like, you know what we need? Yada, yada, yada. This thing and that thing. And then just being, like, silly about
okay.
it. And then going
okay.
into the fact
okay.
that, like, I'm related to the actual traffic stop maker.
Okay. Okay.
It's like my grandfather's cousin or something. Anyway, and then just going from that point on into if I'm going to have an interview that day, have an interview segment. So that'd be the I.
Okay.
The first P then would be, I believe I saw that was going to be talking about, actually, I don't have it in front of me. There's two P's obviously in there. I'm going to straight shot to E. E was going to be about entertainment, and then R was going to be about revising or okay. revisiting other okay. things. Do you have the, do you have
I don't have it handy.
Me?
I don't.
I have my notes. I really do. I know I went over it in one of the sessions, so.
Well, by September 30th, we'll have that thought organized and we will have it ready to go and people will know what Ripper stands for.
You know, I'm in the weird lull right now where today it was like, oh, I saw a butterfly, and that's literally what's on my brain.
You saw a butterfly?
Very Homer Simpson-esque.
It's not at all. I think that's a beautiful thing. Well, you said interviews. So what type of folks are you hoping to have on the show? Because you haven't had too many yet. A lot of what you've done is solo, which I think has been great. But what are you looking to as far as an interview goes?
So I did have an interview with a friend that I had from many years ago, from our elementary days. She's local again, and she was doing some somatic yoga, and I had a dance class, and she's doing other things, but she's also a DJ.
Mm-hmm.
And since I love music, and I just wanted to explore many other different types of ways of perspectives of looking at things. So her name is DJ Big M, or Emily Walensky, and she's from East Lansing as well.
Okay.
And she also was talking about, like, connecting astrological cosmic events with the somatic dancing that she was doing events for. The events are still going on, the last I knew, but I wanted to get her back in to get a better interview going and have a refresher.
Sure.
And seeing where she's at with that now, because she was just starting out with everything. And I did not want to premiere just in case that she, much like myself, was going to be, like, kind of changing a little bit what
yeah,
I was doing.
Yeah, and she did, actually, by the time, and it might be one of those ones that we never get to use, which does happen in the world of what we do.
True. So I, with that, that's, like, the kind
but
of...
But you're planning on having her back?
Oh, yeah, definitely. Yeah. So beyond that, there are other local persons and personalities that I would love to bring in and have them talk about the different events that they are going to be putting on or already working on right now. Just a lot of people that I know. I'm kind of one of those weird extrovert, introverted people where like,
it's not as weird as you think, trust me.
Yeah. Okay. So like when I get out there, I can really talk to anybody.
You're talking to a cat that has no problem getting up on a stage and announcing, but you put me in a party and environment with a bunch of people and I have a terrible time reaching out and just saying, hi, I'm new, blah, blah, blah.
It's like, I'm going to stand over by the wall. Cool.
You're
anyway.
Not nearly as weird as you think you are.
Excellent. So I end up meeting a lot of people, and especially with volunteering, you meet a lot of different people.
Yeah.
You start to learn like how there's different people in different circuits. There's the MICA events that happen and whatnot with the Blues Fest and Jazz Fest and everything like that. People will come back and do those things as volunteers, and also the folk festivals and everything like that. You start to learn real quickly that there's a different kind of way to connect to people, and it's not based on your personal relationships with those people. It is based on how are we going to help today? Where are we at? How are we going to put this show on? Where can I be at to help and everything like that? Instead of like thinking about like how much are we going to make today and, you know, like what are our expenses and all that kind of stuff. It's kind of like you don't have to really concentrate on that too much.
Right.
You're just there to help energize and keep things running and functioning, and then also have a smile on your face and be entirely inviting and welcoming.
So you think a lot of the folks you'll have are kind of personal connections?
Definitely. Yeah. If there's some kind of way to connect them to my life. And for me personally, I love when people get to explain what their life is all about. I love listening to other people tell their stories. And I love being able to have a way for people to have their platform on my platform.
Right.
On
right,
your platform.
Right, right. This is a platform.
So, yeah, I've kind of always been that way, even when I go to a show or something like that, and just always like the random screaming cheerleader in the crowd. And I'm like, yes, I know you made that mistake, but keep going. I mean, I don't say that out loud, but it's just like, yes, everything you're doing.
I mean, speaking of which, okay, so you kind of went through this process, and I would love for you to explain to other students who want to find their voice. Mm-hmm. Whether through podcasting, music, or another outlet, whatever it is, what advice would you give them?
First of all, be honest with yourself. When you are trying to approach this idea of podcasting towards other people, I would say do not base it on what you've seen on like other kind of streaming platforms or listening platforms or anything like that. Do not try to base your kind of way of producing and your productions on anybody else's kind of production. Be honest with whom you are and what you personally have an interest in. Is it somebody else's interest that you're trying to talk about here? Or is it like the fact that you're interested about somebody else's interests?
Gotcha.
And then I'd say probably a little bit of the public speaking thing would be a good thing to hone in on, and trying to find your voice, your personal voice. Try not to go all super, I want to say rock jock, like because you're screaming into the microphone is a thing, but it's not, you're not Sam Kinison.
I mean, you are absolutely talking to somebody who loves to talk like a rock jock.
But I mean, like,
I love doing it.
Yeah. But I mean, in the extreme way, like very gonzo adventure, like kind of way. That's if you want to find your personal way to connect with other people, the way that you're going to genuinely do that is to be a genuine person and be sincere to who you are. And
distilling that all down, I'd say be authentic is your biggest takeaway from that. Yeah,
definitely.
Yeah.
Come with your authentic voice, and everybody has a unique perspective. Even if things seem similar to other people, that is actually kind of a unique thing in and of itself. It's like there's not a lot of people that you might actually find that you have more in common with certain particulars about other people, but the way that you project and say particular things is your own way of being able to be unique about it. So, you know, you might say that you like an orange slice. And I might say I like taking the rind off of an orange in a particular way. And gutting it with little spices and everything like that.
It's actually eat the orange rind. I love it.
You
do? I love it. Yeah, I love rind. I don't know why, but I've always done that. Yeah.
That is like
weird.
No,
I know.
That's
I love the rind. It's weird.
I'm striked. I'm sorry, my brain took a note there, and I was like really trying to assess this, and then I thought about it, and I'm like, that is, you've got a stomach of some...
Not like I used to, no.
I love that, because, well, to me, the first thing I thought about was like if you're hunting and like taking the whole animal, using the entire animal... And, you know, being thankful that that entire animal had life and everything, like, as adverse to like just chopping
offered
it up and then
life sustenance,
throwing all the bits away. That was the vision that I had in my brain about you. Wow. You really actually really appreciate every bit of everything.
I just think it tastes good. I've done it ever since I was a kid.
That's interesting.
Yeah, it is.
It's good for spices too. Taking the rind and putting in like your mulling and everything like that. Mm-hmm. Man, you're a very interesting person all the time.
Terry Denise, so great having you in today. Ripper is the name of the podcast. It premieres on LCC Connect coming up on the 30th of September. It'll also show up on WLNZ 89.7. Thanks so much for coming in and talk to me.
Thank you.
Very last question of the day. I can't tell you what this question is because it's the rando question of the day. Here we go. If you had a reality show, which one would it be and why?
Which one would... just follow me around with a camera and I guess, I don't know, would that be multicam, single cam?
It's up to you. It's your reality show.
I guess it would be just like the story or the view of my life and to walking in my shoes. How about that? Seeing things from
Depeche Mode?
Yes. Try walking in my shoes. That's one of my favorite songs from those guys.
Love it.
Okay, so one of the P's is definitely a preview.
She figured it out. Hey, at least you remembered.
Hey, you know, I'd just like to say, like Gandalf says, a wizard's time is their own time or something like that. I'm paraphrasing. Something like that. I'm truly a wizard. I'm saying I'm on my own time and my brain is on its own time as well.
This is LCC Connect.
Voices.
Vibes.
Vision.
K-12 Operations at Lansing Community College has been a proud collaborator of the Mason Promise Scholarship since 2016. The Mason Promise Scholarship is a community organization of volunteers that guarantees funding for 2 years of Lansing Community College education to selected Mason Public School students. These selected students are chosen by the Mason Public Schools at the end of the fifth grade and then become a Mason Promise Scholarship through an induction ceremony. Over the course of the next 6 years, these students receive mentoring and support as well as introduction to career possibilities through the Pathway Program. For more information on the Mason Promise Scholarship at LCC, please visit lcc.edu/hope.
Feeling froggy? Well, leap into 20-plus podcasts at lccconnect.org.
At Home with Economics is a space where we explore business, workforce, and community development initiatives and how they impact our daily lives. I'm your host, Bo Garcia.
Find out more and listen on demand, lccconnect.org.
They are our cuddlers and coworkers, purr machines and love bugs, and constant companions. They are our pets, our family, and they make life so much better. When we face unexpected challenges in life, so do our pets. That's why we're on a mission to support people who love their pets and the pets who love their people, ensuring these families stay exactly where they belong, together. And you have something to offer. With an open heart and mind, there is nothing you can't do. There's no gesture too small or too big when it comes to helping. Whether donating a bag of kibble, sharing an Instagram post of a lost cat, or welcoming a foster pet into your home, every bit of kindness counts. You can help keep pets and people together. Visit petsandpeopletogether.org to learn how to be a helper in your community. This has been a public service announcement brought to you by Maddie's Fund, the Humane Society of the United States, and the Ad Council.
The Modern Warehousing Program through the Job Training Center at Lansing Community College is an industry-led program that prepares individuals for frontline material handling and supply chain logistic positions in medical centers, fulfillment centers, warehouses, and factories. Those who complete this program can earn multiple certifications. Visit lcc.edu/JTCtraining for more information.
LCC.
Connect.
Voices.
Vibes.
Vision.
It's time for Stars on Sport,
a podcast radio show dedicated to sharing stories about our athletic program at LCC, past and present.
Lansing Community College Athletics has a strong tradition.
25 national championships.
Over 190 All-Americans.
19 MCCAA All-Sports trophies.
Stars on Sports will introduce you to individuals that have contributed to our program's success and give you the backstory on what it takes to develop it.
We'll also dive into and break down the topics and issues facing athletic departments across the nation and right here at LCC.
This is Stars on Sports.
Hello, and welcome to another episode of Stars on Sports. I'm joined today by our Assistant Athletic Director, Stephen Cutter, our producer, Jeremy Robinson.
Hey.
Getting confused there. The Dalian sat in this chair for a little bit. But anyway, gentlemen, for those out there listening live, we're going to do a poll on what we're going to talk about today. Just kidding. Today, gentlemen, we're going to be talking about ERO. That comes up a lot in our podcast. And opening up my email this morning, I get a daily email from Brian Kite, who has emailed Daily Discipline. So I'll give him a nice plug there because I get two good ones every day, that one, Daily Discipline, and another one on just motivation, the Kevin DeShazzo or something. I'll have to look that up. We'll talk about him in the future. But anyway, Brian Kite ends every Daily Discipline email with ERO. And I'm pretty sure ERO has come up on almost 90% of our podcasts.
Yeah. So
it is a big part of life, and it's a big part of our lives, and a big part of our teams, and a big part of our programs. And, you know, other topics I thought about talking about was communication or core values. I'm in a leadership class right now that's, you know, kind of working me through core values, and I know your program has core values, but we'll touch on those another day. But ERO is a part of that. I mean, we are, emphasizing that with our coaching staff, with our student athletes, our program. So today, though, in his email, when we talk about ERO in the past, it's been about the response. You can't control the event. You can control the response, and that will lead to the outcome. And we all want a positive outcome, even if it's the best event or the worst event. It's how you respond to it. Well, today's email took it a step further, and because when you talk about how to respond, we've kind of just hit on respond positively. You know, make sure you have a good response. Well, today's was more have an intentional response, have a response that creates an outcome that you want even better, and it almost like takes it up another level because, yeah, responding well is good. That will lead to a better outcome, but if you're able to respond with purpose or intent or create an outcome that can lead to an even a better ending, you're going to be in a better place. And it goes back to, guys, we're going to be name dropping here, I guess, today. Who knows where this podcast ever goes, direction. But Brian Kane, who's a big one of your mentors, one of my favorite people to listen to, thanks to you. And one of the most profound things he said that I still think of, and I think of a batter every time when I think of this, is, what did you want when something happened to you? What did you want to have happen? What happened, and what the best next decision to make what you wanted to have happen? And I always think of a batter with a called strike or whatever. You know, what was your? And so anyway, both of those premises though is what can we do right now to put us in the best situation moving forward? And, you know, you and I, we talked about 10 minutes before this podcast even started about how important that is with our teams. And even sometimes, you know, like even in communication, we talk about communication, everyone's ready to just respond right away. And, you know, I remember one president would always like take 2 or 3 seconds whenever he was asked a question before he responded. And people gave him credit because he was like thinking more instead of just jumping in to respond. So anyway, I just gave a long monologue and I didn't get a chance to get initial feedback because you guys helped me direct where this podcast will be going. So I know you're big on ERO. So what do you think of that R in there?
Quite a bit of perspective, and I can date back to like this morning. Our baseball team was in the weight room this morning and I went in there to get a few videos and, you know, check on them, see how they're doing and talk to our strength and conditioning coach and things like that. And as I was walking around, I started talking to one of our players and he started telling me about how great he felt today. And, you know, I asked, you know, what's the difference? And he says, you know, I finally got some great sleep last night. Mm. And he goes, yesterday I really struggled. I didn't have enough sleep and it really put me in a bad mood all day. And that's kind of where the E plus R equals O. That's where I wedged right back in and said, those are your feelings. And the event that happened was your lack of sleep. And you chose to respond with a negative attitude because you got the lack of sleep, which then ultimately affects your outcomes with people or what you're trying to do. So it is one of those things where it's easy to say E plus R equals O. It's much harder to practice it because it will come up in almost every minute, every hour of your life. And it really comes down to how much are you willing to accept the reality of the event and respond in a way that's going to serve you. So it's a very challenging thing, and it's something that not only people like Brian Kane or Brian Kite or, you know, people have been talking about this for a long time. And I think they're still constantly talking about it because it comes up in everyday life. Mm-hmm. And we get to choose if that car cuts us off on the on-ramp or on the highway. Or we get to choose right at that moment how we're going to respond. And they don't get to choose how we're going to respond. We get to choose how we're going to respond.
Well, now we're going down a whole different pathway. But And we've talked about this before on our podcast too, even like lack of sleep or you're sick or, you know, you failed your exam or you're having a difficulty at home or in a relationship can make it difficult to focus on your response. And, and again, it does impact everyday life and everyday decisions, not just sport decisions as we'd like to talk about on here, but, you know, every day, how, you know, when we leave this podcast, how do we respond to what's next in our thing? But do you teach your kids, you know, like do you bring up ERO or like that? Even like I always tell my kids, like, even when you're not feeling your best, give your best. And it might not be the same as the day before. Like to your kid, if he still gave his best yesterday, that's all he can do at 80% compared to now he's 100% today and you know, the whole nother level. But the key is still, you know, that response of giving your best. Because I'm not going to name drop anymore, but Greg Hardin, who was the mental coach at the University of Michigan, talked about 100% of the time. And you know, is that realistic?
So there's a lot of questions there.
Good, because I don't have any more answers.
So, yeah, I definitely feel like that when you're trying to teach this, one of the easier ways to go about it is not always be talking about E plus R equals O, but to start talking about feelings and that voice inside of your head. And everybody has that voice inside their head. That voice at times will be telling them that they're tired. That voice will be telling them that they can't do something, that they're not enough, that they're in a great spot. The voice will be all over the place. And so we really try to teach, like, that voice does not determine what you do. You determine what you do, not that voice. And so if you're not feeling like you're enough, that doesn't mean that you're not enough. You're feeling like you're tired. That doesn't mean that you can't still put in great effort. So we teach not to listen to your feelings. Feelings are just what they are. And to speak into existence what you want. And the more that you can talk to yourself versus listen to yourself, the more, you know, plenty of studies have shown that the more success you're going to have just with getting out of bed, you know, not hitting the snooze, you know, just the more things that are going to fall in line for you.
Yeah. All right. So I wanted to, I'm kind of like, because you guys like the professionals. And I want to speak for the.
Gonna have to edit that later.
Nope, it's gonna stay in there because it's me giving roses, and I love giving roses. So, from speaking on the outside, like this is my first time hearing that. So, for the general public who may not know what is ERO?
It's an equation, there's a book out there, one of my favorite books, actually. Urban Meyer wrote it, but I actually think Brian Kite might have been. There was an author with it, and it's called Above the Line Behavior. It's called Above the Line, but it talked about behaviors that are above the line and below the line. And if you want to be successful, you need to be above the line. And the best way to be above the line is the equation ERO. I mean, I'm paraphrasing, generally summarizing the book, but everything starts with an event. Everything that's an event happens to you. And then how you respond will determine the outcome. The event doesn't determine the outcome. We all want to blame the event.
Gonna happen.
It's the same as the internal voice. The internal voice doesn't determine if you show up or not. If you're not feeling your best today, that you didn't get enough sleep, you determine that, not your internal voice. And so that event does not determine your response. And so you can kind of flip it a little bit, and you get to determine with that event, and that's what comes out of your outcome.
And too much focus is on the event in our life, like being sick or not getting enough sleep. And this is trying to take that and say, no, we can't control that. But what we can control is how we respond to it. And today's email is even more specific on respond purposely, respond with intention instead of, because we've always talked about, don't respond negatively, respond positively. But that's a great way to make the event better, but there, you can take it to another level by being more purposeful. And back to the point, though, is we seem to focus on the event and blame the event for everything that happens, when this equation says these response is what's important. How you respond will determine your outcome. Both event and response determine your outcome. You can't control the event. You can control the response. Controlling response will give you a better
outcome. I literally just watched a video from a speaker called Myron Golden, and he was speaking about how to brainwash yourself to not procrastinate. And what he was talking about was, the main thing was, as natural human beings, we only do what we want to do. So how do you trick yourself to want to do things? Instead of trying to force yourself to do something, how do you trick your mind to want to do it? So he said, you naturally going to receive. He said, belief is not just faith. He said, belief is two things. Either it's doubt or you believe it's going to happen. So it's like the negative, positive that y'all was talking about. So that's like the response. Either you're going to respond in a positive way or a negative way. And that response is going to go to your heart, which is going to generate an outcome, which is either I'm doing something or I'm not doing something.
And that's a whole nother podcast. And you started to hit on it, and we could talk about the brain and belief. And I think, again, that's what you were getting to with how you teach ERO, is getting them to use their brain or work with their mind. Because we all know, I mean, again, one of my favorite things that we've learned is your mind, when you think you are spent, your mind is only really at 40% capacity.
Which
you
is crazy.
Have 60% to go.
Yeah.
And training your mind, as he talked about, talking to yourself instead of listening to yourself, are some of those ways to get that belief system to get to your heart to do that. So that all does lend to your response. And again, that's more back to the how do you work on the R in equation.
Yeah.
And those are the ways. And again, what name drop? Ted Lasso, you know? We got a belief sign up in our office, finally, you know? And how important that is, though, in even believing that you can do it or not do it in all different circumstances. Everything's easy when it's rosy, mm-hmm. not everything. And we've talked about, well, what happens when you get hit in the mouth, and that belief system, if that heart. And I'm you know, you've done podcasts on resiliency and determination, and those are trained, those are taught. I mean, but the brain and the mind are huge in this, and it's right. important. And being smart too. I mean, I wanted to hit on a little bit, you know, we were talking about before this podcast is, sometimes the response can be delayed. Sometimes the response can, you know, we talk about delayed gratification and that. And then one of my mentors always taught me, you know, sometimes people rush to you with problems, then sometimes take a step back and let them try and solve it for themselves, because they'll grow and learn better if they do that instead of you solving all their problems for you. So, yeah, the response isn't just a quick hitter or, yeah. you know, I got to respond right away. We all want instant response. But I also think it can lend to a more intentional and creative response if we do step back. Because we're not, I mean, you try and prepare for everything. Preparation is another huge thing in trying to work on a response.
Procrastination is one of those things that's viewed as a pretty negative word for the most part. You know, you mm-hmm. think about procrastination and, you know, people say, I procrastinate too much. And it's just pretty negative. But that being said, you talked about responding. There's so many events that happen in your life every single day. It yeah. doesn't matter what your profession is, what you do. There's thousands of events every day. And having procrastination for some of those events, which means just basically you're going to delay a response, is one of those things that I think at one point was probably pretty challenging. I believe today it's 10 times as challenging because we have our phones and you don't have to respond to every email, every message.
Yeah.
It means that it's going to take away from what you're trying to do. Mm-hmm. You can respond when the time is right. And so that's where procrastination comes in. There are certain things that you don't need to do. There are going to be certain events that come up that just, as you mentioned, Greg, that it's fine not to respond. Let somebody else try to work through it and figure it out. Don't just pave the road for them. Let them help you pave the road, you know? And so sometimes with procrastination or sometimes not responding, you know, as I said earlier, when you're a coach, that's one of the things that you're trying to learn and try to figure out in the journey is what do I respond to and what do I not respond to?
I think that is huge. That's why I just wrote down the word no. And, you know, Warren Buffett was another dream big believer in one of the leadership things. The best word in leadership is no. And I struggle with the word no and even delayed responses because I want to get it done and check it off and move it on. But back to that core values, as I said, we'll talk about, or priorities or preparation is sometimes the no response is the best response. Sometimes you know, prioritizing responses like, well, this is more important than this one. And again, another future podcast we were talking about is choosing your battles, knowing what battles to fight for, which battles to pick head on, which ones to delegate, which ones to, you know, prioritize. So yeah, the response is, you know, many facets. And in our society today, and that's what the other part of his email was, we live in a reactionary society.
True.
And that's part of the problem, that we're so reactionary that we're not looking at being intentional or purposeful creating, because we're reacting to, and so many things happen in our life, and a lot of it is social media, that we're responding to so many things that, yeah, it's a positive or good response, but is it the best response? And again, the intent today was just take it to another level. Don't just respond well, you know, to take it to another level. And what, you know, accepting it or denying it, you hit on a little earlier that I wanted to talk about too, or maybe it was you, one of you talked about the event, you know, being realistic about the event or being self-aware about the event. If you lie to yourself about what the event is or something, then that will hurt your response too. So being real or being actual and evaluating the event can help with the R. So the event is still pretty important. Again, it's just the one thing we don't have control over. When we can control the event, that's much better, but it's really the response that helps controlling that outcome. So
E plus R equals O is not ignoring your circumstances. It's really taking ownership over your responses and your circumstances a lot of times are going to be really challenging, really tough, not fun, you know, all these things that make it hard. But you have the ability to take ownership over your responses. It's no different than if we walk outside, leaving the WLNZ studios, and we're complaining about it being windy. There's really not much we can do except get behind a building, another building, or get inside. There's just not much we can do. It's a waste of time because we can't shut off the wind. So that's the event. And it's so just... You're not ignoring it. You're just saying, okay, I'm going to control the response of that.
Yeah, so
and that's what it looks like.
Ignore is not a bad thing. I'm learning this as a father. So my son, it's times where I tell him to do something and he get real mad. And I used to just respond, hey, you need to. But I learned to just, you know what, I'm going to let him be in his feelings. That he'll come to me. I'm sorry, Dad. I didn't say anything to him. And I think that's really
a plus
huge.
One.
Choosing your battle.
Yeah, and what you were saying about worrying, like, I heard a funny saying. He's like, someone who's 5'5", if he worries about being tall, it's not going to make him taller. It literally gets nothing done.
Yeah, and you can't control, you know, you're 5'5". How do you make the best of it? But back to your point either back about believing or, and you even started to hit on it, is stacking those wins, which is another thing we've talked about, and rewarding your positive responses to the little things so that when you are in difficult situations, you're either able to handle it better or prepared to handle it better, because those are the ones where the ERO really separates itself, are the difficult ones, but learning to build on the easier ones, because it is daily. It is not even daily. It's every minute, you know, we're responding to something and just, you know, working on doing it intentionally and purposefully and not just positively, which is what we've kind of focused on. Or what I focused on is just be a positive, you know, take the high road, be professional when you respond. And that will go a long way. But again, another level of intent and purpose.
So what do you feel about, because I know certain EROs you're going to be really good at, like you got good practice in that. But for the ones that you don't have to practice in and you have to get better at, how do you encourage people to say, you know, it's going to get better the more you work at that?
Experience helps
just
with that.
Doing it every day, because the events really start when you wake up in the morning. So it's just starting to be intentional with, okay, how am I going to respond to this alarm clock? You know, how am I going to respond to this mess, this message, this traffic, this car that's not working? You know, all these things. So you get so much practice. But if we're not intentional with our thoughts, we don't even realize that we have all these things that we can practice on. So we're really fortunate in a lot of ways because we have these events that we can just start practicing, just start stacking bricks, and it's going to get better.
And we talk about this a lot in our office. It's about those end of game situations where, being there, you know, helps. You know, we've seen teams that consistently choke at the end of games or struggle down, you know, turn the ball over or such. And we talk about it regularly in our office of how you get better at it. And it is back to, you can't prepare for everything, but you keep preparing that it builds bricks, that you get better at those things, and it lessens the thing that you haven't prepared for that you can either manage or, again, even though I know you're a big NBA fan, of how many teams have had to make the NBA Finals before they won the NBA Finals. And those teams that go and win it once are the ones that usually aren't there consistently, but the ones that are there consistently usually take some. But it's experience. It's doing those things every day and getting better at all the little things, all the fundamentals, as we talk about, that, again, it lessens those things you're not prepared for.
Most importantly, I think it's take advantage of your experiences. That's how you gain experience. Take advantage of them, because they're there. You just take advantage of them.
Learning. I mean, that was another part of this, is learn. I mean, make those responses learning experiences. So instead of not just, again, being reactionary, reflect, build, learn from those, and that takes time too. So we could talk all day about that. This was exciting, and maybe we'll keep diving in. We can do 2-3-part series on this podcast. Go vote in the poll. Just kidding. So let's end with our question, gentlemen. I've been coming up with a lot of food ones lately. Like anytime I eat a food, I'm thinking, hey, how can I ask this question on our podcast? And we talked a little bit about this before, but and if it's not one, we'll go on to another one. But do we all do you guys like Doritos? Yes. Do you like Doritos or potato chips? With the first question.
I feel terrible answering that.
Why? Because it's not healthy?
Health, yeah, man. I feel guilty when I get them, but I love the nacho cheese Doritos. So I would try to, you know, hey, make sure my wife keeps them out of the house because otherwise they'll end up in my lunch. And, you know, I love them. They're incredible.
They're addicting. So, yeah. I've learned. Like, I'll talk about that in a second. What about you? Chips or Doritos?
So making me choose is not fair.
I hear you. I'll come to that.
Growing up in Detroit, Better Made was everything. Mm-hmm. But my wife makes this nachos with the sweet chili Doritos, and those are so good.
Well, that's the thing. Doritos have come out with so many flavors now, and I think my kids like the sweet chili. And the reason I bring it up, it's funny. I help my daughter with lunch in the morning, and we got these wavy potato chips, which I like, and we have Doritos. And I kind of like make her pick which one she likes today, and she'd been on a Doritos craze, and I prefer the nacho cheese myself. They're the best. The other kinds are okay, and there's like four or five flavors out there. But even for nachos, you know, my wife made me nachos with Doritos the other night. It's hard to beat a good Dorito. And then, Coach, I think it's okay in moderation. You know, I mean, you can't eat the whole bag in one setting, which I believe Doritos are addicting.
Just because you like something, I think that sometimes that's a bad response.
Really?
Yeah.
Man, I want to live life and have fun, but you're right. I get that. Yeah, you're true. I guess there are things out there. So sweet and chili Doritos, Better Made potato chips.
Yeah, barbecue Better Made.
Ooh, that's a whole other conversation. I like barbecue, talk about potato chips. And then, nacho cheese is simple for you, too.
Yeah.
All right, well, let's keep it short because we went long on the other stuff. So good stuff as always, gentlemen. Great until stuff. Next time, go Stars. Stars on Sports is recorded live at the WLNZ Studios. Engineering and production assistance are provided by Dedalian Lowry and Journey Robinson. You can listen to the episode and other episodes of Stars on Sports on demand at lccconnect.org. To find more information about our athletic program, visit lccstars.com. Thanks for listening. Be sure to join us next time for more Stars on Sports.
Go Stars! Featuring the faculty, staff, students, and others that helped to make Lansing's premier college what it is today. LCC Connect, Mid-Michigan's connection to Lansing Community College. To find out more about our featured programs or to listen on demand, visit us at lccconnect.org.
LCC
Connect.
Voices.
Vibes.
Vision.
The LCC Library empowers the Lansing community to learn, teach, and discover. Located on the second and third floors of the Technology and Learning Center at the corner of Capitol and Shiawassee on LCC's downtown campus, the LCC Library's ambient spaces are available to the public for work, study, or quiet personal projects. In addition, those with memberships at collaborating libraries are free to check out materials from the LCC Library's collections. For more information, visit lcc.edu/library.
My name's Bob.
Hi, Bob.
So I see this ad on TV. It says I can reduce my debt by 50%. So I call. They told me to stop paying my bills, stop talking to my creditors. It didn't seem right, but they said they'd take care of everything.
I gave them thousands of dollars, but most of it went to their fees.
Getting out of debt is neither quick nor easy. There are those who will tell you anything just to win your trust.
Sounded perfect. I did everything they told me to do.
They never paid my creditors. They didn't even contact them.
Turns out I'm even more in debt because the fees and the interest on my cards kept piling up.
Bad advice from so-called experts can make your financial situation worse.
And the bank turned me down for a mortgage. And that's when I realized my credit was shot. I should have gone straight to my creditors to begin with.
There is a better way to get help. Talk to your creditors directly or to find a nonprofit agency near you. Visit debtadvice.org. Debtadvice.org. Real solutions for real people. This has been a public service message.
The Lansing Community College Foundation
provide scholarships that make education possible, change students' lives, and uplift our community. Students may apply for scholarships November 1st through January 31st. Learn more at lcc.edu/scholarships.
This is WLNZ Lansing. You're listening to LCC Connect, a weekly program that features the voices, vibes, and vision of Lansing Community College. To find out more about LCC Connect programs or to listen on demand, visit us at lccconnect.org.
LCC.
Connect.
Voices.
Vibes.
Vision.